39. The words will be on the screen, but this is where we're going to focus in on this morning with our reading and then talk afterwards. So we're jumping in about halfway through Joseph's story. So this is Joseph and Potiphar's wife, starting at verse 1. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and all of that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care, with Joseph in charge. He did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now Joseph was well-built and handsome, and after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." But he refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even to be with her. One day he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. When she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and had run out of the house, she called her household servants. "Look," she said to them, "this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him this story. "That Hebrew slave you brought us came to me to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." When his master heard the story, his wife told him, saying, "This is how your slave treated me." He burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warder. So the warder put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warder paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Life can be so, so difficult at times. I imagine that everyone here has gone through trauma at some point in your life. And church, this morning, I want to share with you a little of what happened exactly 1 year and 1 day ago today. I was 24 hours into my first mission trip over in Romania. And along with our former minister, Nick, we'd had the most wonderful day. I treated Nick to his first ever kebab, something that I'm not sure he will ever have again. And I'd seen some of both old and new Bucharest while acclimatizing myself with the local area that we were going to be serving in the following week. In the evening, we were playing a game with our host family, the Corleys, who I'm sure some of you here know. And, well, I'd ignored a few phone calls from my dad, thinking that they simply wanted to find out what I'd got up to during the day. How wrong I was. Eventually, I picked up the phone, and then you hear those words, And I'm going to have to paraphrase because my memory is somewhat blurry of the whole situation. My dad said, "Listen, Tom, are you with people? Tell me you're with people because you need to be." Puzzlingly, I paused before saying, "Yes, I am." My dad, almost sobbing as he spoke down the phone, said the words to me that I will never forget. "Tom, this afternoon, there was a car crash, and both your granddad and Grandma Watts have gone to be with the Lord." I melted. I felt like I melted into the sofa that I was sitting on, and the tears started to pour. Oh, they poured so hard. I couldn't say anything because there wasn't anything that could be said. The day had been going so well. We just ran the most wonderful holiday club here at NBC. I was a day into my first mission trip, reaching out to students in Romania. I was seeing countless blessings in my life. And then this happened. Sometimes life can look so straightforward for other people. We look on social media and we see photos of people who seem to have their whole lives all worked out. We watch movies where, whilst there are sometimes complications, the good guys always win. We hope, we dream, and often we expect things to fall into place for us. The truth is, though, that life's journey is often far harder than we can ever anticipate. Because of this, because of how our lives are often filled with so much happiness and joy, when events happen that throw us off the path that we believe we should be on, that we expect should fall into place for us, we're often left so broken with pain and despair. And then, as Christians, we turn to God and we start to ask, what is going on? Where is God in all of this? Where was God when my grandparents were killed? I thought that God was meant to be in charge of everything. How does that fit into my current situation? I thought God was supposed to love me. Why has he left me on his own? Fortunately, at times like this, there is an abundance of stories in the Bible that can help us. Time and time again, we see suffering followed by blessing. Jesus himself went through immeasurable pain. And if Jesus was not immune from pain, then we, as humans, should not expect to be either. I was drawn to the story of Joseph last November, and I want to explore a little bit of what I read and understood back then. Now, in Joseph, there is a man who knew what crushing disappointment felt like. To give a little bit of background to his story up to where our reading began, and I'm sure pretty much everyone here will know this. Joseph had 11 brothers, 10 older and one younger, but he definitely didn't suffer from middle child syndrome. Now, Joseph grew up as the favorite son of his father. He was given the fanciest clothes, and following him, sharing one of his dreams with his brothers, where he explained that one day they would all bow down before him. They did what any normal, self-respecting brothers would do. They sold him into slavery. Now, Joseph was taken to Egypt and worked for a guy called Potiphar, a wealthy Egyptian. And to be honest, things were going as well as could be expected for someone who was a slave. Verse 1 that we just read. Now, Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. But here's the important verse. Verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered. In Joseph's torment, his sale and slavery, the Lord was with him. And because the Lord was with him, Joseph quickly rose to a position of trust in Potiphar's house. When Joseph was thrown into the pit by his brothers and sold off to some travelers, he must have felt afraid and alone, uncertain of what the future might have held for him. For me, on the night when I had that dreadful phone call, I had absolutely no idea what was happening and why it was happening. Did I need to return home quickly? I'd be lying if I said I didn't look at flights that were available when I couldn't get to sleep on that Friday night. What would the next few weeks look like? What would the next year look like? I certainly couldn't have predicted how the past few months have gone here at NBC. And every day, there are new challenges. So how did Joseph make it through all those years and emerge with an even stronger faith? Why did he not give up, determined never to hope again? Verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph. The Bible doesn't tell us that the Lord was with Joseph when he was a spoilt teenager, or later in the story when, giving a little spoiler alert, he becomes prime minister of the country. Oh no. It says that when Joseph was at his loneliest and most painful place, the Lord was with Joseph. God here is wanting to make the point to us that it is in our slavery that he is particularly near to us. God's first response when we are hurting and in pain is not always to stop the cause of it, although we probably wish that it was. Anyway, back to the story. All was going well for young Joseph until, as we heard in our reading, one fine day, when Potiphar was away on what we assume was a business trip, his master's wife, Mrs. Potiphar, falsely accused him of attempted rape because she refused to sleep with her. He refused to sleep with her. Joseph was thrown into prison, where he remained for years, waiting and wondering if he would ever be delivered. We read on to verse 20. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, the equivalent of a maximum security location. But while Joseph was there in the prison, verse 21, here it is again, the Lord was with him. The Lord was with Joseph. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warder. God's initial reaction to Joseph's jail sentence, however unfair it was not to break Joseph out of prison. But instead, remarkably, God broke into the prison with Joseph. He didn't instantly end Joseph's jail sentence. Instead, he kept him company throughout it. It has been the experience of many, many people, myself included, that when we're suffering, it's then that we discover that God is so, so close to us. I can remember when we got back from Romania last year. The first Sunday back was Remembrance Sunday. And I came along to church here, as I normally would, and I got on with my duties for the first half hour or so. But then the hurting started. And it felt like a ticking bomb had been inside, and all of a sudden it had gone off. I simply couldn't carry on. I dragged a close friend over to the hub with me, and we sat. We sat in silence at first, before, remarkably, we started to praise God. We worshipped him, and then in quiet, we asked him to draw near to us. Through the tears, we read Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. A truth that David wrote, reminding us of God's faithful companionship. And over the next couple of months, the recovery process began. There were hours and hours of prayers with friends, and many, many times when words would be shared about how God is in charge of our lives. As a family, we didn't understand what had happened. And to be honest, there were many times when we absolutely hated what happened. But I believed that God understood what we were doing. He sees the end from the beginning, and he is always, always with us. God never left Joseph's side. Joseph knew that God was with him, and he was consistently blessed with God's presence and God's favor. Now, to help paint the full picture of Joseph's story for you, miraculously, Joseph was freed from prison, with help from God and a few dreams. To really, really cut the story short, he was eventually reunited with his brothers, and they were both humbled and repentant, and he was awarded unprecedented power as the prime minister of Egypt. After being sold in slavery years earlier, he could say to his brothers, and this is in Genesis 50, verse 20, "You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." While Joseph went through great pain and disappointment, in the end, his story is tied up in a beautiful and inspiring way. But will all our disappointments get tied up so nicely? Does God really mean everything for my good? Right now, as we speak, my other granddad is fighting for his life in the intensive care unit at the Royal Stoke Hospital. These are questions we're still wrestling with every day. But the truth we know is what keeps us going. God is with us. The Lord is with us. I want to finish by sharing a little of the story of an incredible modern-day Joseph. Corrie ten Boom lived through the Second World War, and along with her family, they ran a watch repair shop in a little Dutch village. When the Nazis occupied Holland and began hunting down Jews, Corrie, who had been following Jesus for many years, could not stand idly by. Corrie launched a network that smuggled Jews to safe houses around the country. But in chapter 9 of her book, The Hiding Place, she talks about how eventually the family were betrayed by informants, and in February of 1944, they were arrested by the Gestapo, the German secret police. Whilst in prison, she received a letter saying that her father had gone to be with the Lord just 10 days after being arrested. What did she do upon hearing this? She praised God. She praised God that her father had been released from his earthly chains. Corrie and her sister Betsy were eventually taken to a concentration camp in Germany. Every single day was an endurance test. Each new morning brought exposure to the brutal and cruel side of humanity. They were crammed into the barracks like animals. They witnessed the madness, the poverty, and mind-numbing desperation of the thousands that they were trapped with. Corrie saw mothers lose babies just hours after giving birth. She observed the systematic execution of thousands of people. Yet, like Joseph, Corrie realized the companionship of God in that place. She discovered that despite appearances, God was at work. God miraculously provided them with a Bible. There was a bottle of vitamins that no matter how many they took, never ran out. The whole story is one of the most fascinating books I've ever read. I'm not going to say it's an easy read because it isn't. There's story after story, though, in there of miraculous things that happened. And I would urge you, if you haven't already, to try and find a copy and read it. We might ask the question, if God was with Corrie and her sister Betsy, why didn't he break them out of jail, out of the concentration camp they were held in? As with Joseph, we aren't told and we will never know. But what we do know is that like he did with Joseph, God broke into the prison with Corrie. And we know now that her story has been read by millions and millions of people and has pointed them towards the glory and kindness of God. To close, this is an excerpt from the book. So this is Corrie writing. As the rest of the world grew stranger, things became increasingly clear. And that was the reason the two of us were here. Why others should suffer from morning until lights out, whenever we were not in ranks for roll call, our Bible was the center of an ever-widening circle of help and of hope. Like waifs, so that is homeless people, clustered around the blazing fire, we gathered about it, holding out our hearts to its warmth and light. The blacker the night around us grew, the brighter and truer and more beautiful burned the word of God. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written in Romans 8:35, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Joseph and many others show us that when life throws a punch, God is right there with us. He doesn't always break us out of the prison, but he never, ever abandons us. He is beside us now. He is love and he is Lord. We can know that we will not endure suffering alone, but also that God is able to transform and use our suffering, just as he did with Joseph and Corrie. These stories have blessed me immeasurably, and even now they still give me hope and courage as I face daily struggles. that despite all the questions that must have occurred to Joseph, he knew that God could turn all his pain and all his imprisonment into something good. The Lord was with Joseph. Despite all the questions that must have occurred to Corrie along the way, she knew God could turn her heartbreak and hurting into something good. The Lord was with Corrie. And for me and my family, we know the truth that Paul wrote about just a few verses before Corrie's verses. We know that in God, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. The Lord is with me, and the Lord is with you. Let's pray together.